Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your future lay out there in the bullpen.
The starters are out. Now it's time to head to the bullpen.
Squad, bullpen, now.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Go ahead, call the producers.
Who win it now?
Welcome in to the bullpen here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. A little shakeup this weekend, this Mother's Day weekend. Andrew Carlson's going to head over to the Sunday show tomorrow with Sean Mapes from 10 to 12. So I got my guy, RJ. We stole you from the Sunday group. What's up, dude? How are you?
What's going on, man? Happy to be back on with you. We did this one time before.
Oh, we were on remote. We were at a bar. Remote.
Yep.
We're not drinking. I got coffee, no beer today. You can find us on Twitter at Joe George Radio, at RHasNoJ, at IMJ Chevy for Josh, our producer today. We got a bunch of stuff to get to. Obviously, the Houston Astros got a W last night over the lowly White Sox. Yordan Alvarez went way deep. What a home run last night.
Yeah.
We got a bunch of Texans stuff to get into, some Rockets stuff. We're going to have a discussion at 12:45 that might cause a riot in the city, to be honest.
Maybe.
Because you have a guy from L.A., a guy from Chicago. And Josh, I'm going to say Toronto / Houston for you. And we're going to talk about if the Rockets would have beat the Bulls the 2 years that Michael Jordan was retired because of some stuff that Kenny Smith said. And I'll be honest, I think everyone's expecting me to have a certain take. You're probably going to be wrong. I'm probably going to side with most of you guys, but not fully also. So we're going to get into that. Apollo Dez from Apollo Houston is going to join us at 1 o'clock. My times are all messed up this morning. He's going to join us in studio from 1 to 1:30, talk more Astros then. So let's get right into last night's game, RJ. JP France, welcome to the show, man.
Welcome to the show.
That guy is, first of all, the mustache, incredible.
Absolutely.
The baby pacifier mustache for his kid, even better.
Absolutely.
When I have my next kid some point in time, I'm gonna cut down to a mustache just so I can get that pacifier mustache and be rocking it. It's elite.
Take Father's Day pictures together.
Yeah, it's great. Even if it's not permanent, at some point I will have it. He will have the pacifier mustache, assuming it's another boy, and like we're going to be rolling.
Yes.
But JP France was, look, with all the injuries that have been going on with the rotation, McCullers, Urquidy, Garcia, all out. Like, we know what Belak has been, but JP France last night was just an absolute, just, it was a stunning performance. Like, his first start was good.
Yes.
But he was kind of, you know, his pitch count was low, so he only got through 5. But yesterday was honestly just, you couldn't ask for anything more from a guy coming up from the minors who already now, it's like, just knowing the Astros, it feels like you've got your next star. And he's probably not, but like, you've got like at least your next formidable pitcher in the rotation.
Yeah, you got another solid rotation guy. I mean, get this. So, in his 2 outings, in 11 and 2/3 innings, his ERA is at 0.77, and he's already carrying a 0.69 whip. I mean, this guy is absolutely ridiculous right now. And I know this may not be a thing that's going to sustain itself out of the course of the season. Of course, he's probably going to have a few hiccups here and there. But this is what you need right now. You have, you know, the injury to Garcia. You know, he's out for the remainder of the season. You also have the injury to Lance McCullers. You don't know when he's going to be back. You're now probably going to be asking Hunter Brown to be a lot more than maybe you thought you were going to ask him to be towards the middle and the end of the season. Maybe you would ramp him up just a little bit more, but now he has to be potentially that third guy for you in the rotation. And now, you know, do you make a trade for a starting pitcher who's out there? But a guy like JP France, who's able to give you 2 good outings, it really does, you know, help you in that rotation until, you know, maybe Lance McCullers comes back later on in the year. But for France to be able to do this, once again, the Astros just striking gold with these young guys.
Yeah, it just kind of stabilizes everything. You know, The trade conversation we're going to get to a little bit in the next segment, but it's an interesting one because it's like you've got Jose Urquidy, who it sounds like a month. You know, yeah. I think that the return to play, you know, stuff is being questioned again, rightfully so, for the Astros. And then you have Lance McCullers, who he's touching 92 in bullpen sessions. Like, could he be back in the next month and a half? I think the answer is yes. Like, he looks like a June guy right now, maybe early July at the absolute worst. But, like, if this can be J.P. France, if he can be this guy, let's say, like, I'll say 50% of the time.
Yeah.
Like, if half his starts, he can do what he's done in his first two, like, he just solidifies and just gives you, like, that breather that you need.
Because I think you wanted that from Luis Garcia before he got out. You know, you look at Fromber. You have Fromber, Javier. Lance is out, but you're thinking Hunter Brown's going to be that next guy. Of course, you have Urquidy, but now Urquidy's going to miss some time. So now this is a time now for Dusty, at least in my opinion, where you really now have to look at your young guys, even with guys like Brantley and Altuve out. Now you got to look at guys like Dubon, Jake Myers. You know, Jeremy Peña has to step it up just a little bit more, in my opinion. But, you know, this is where you really look to your young guys and those guys that, you know, haven't been there, you know, in June, like a J.P. France in, you know, June throughout, you know, October and, you know, playing through that hard stretch. And the fear is, at least for me, is that J.P. France is going to have these kind of, you know, games and have these kind of starts. And then your guys are going to come back like an Urquidy and like a Lance McCullers. And then you wonder where J.P. France kind of falls in that lineup.
For sure.
And Dusty's probably going to fall in love with the older guys and say, you know, I need them in September. I need them in October. But when you see the guys and just the production that they're putting out there, like a J.P. France, you really have to look, you know, at your roster and say, listen, as long as he continues playing like this, to your point, like, we got to keep him in the rotation and got to keep him engaged.
Yeah, 713-780-3776 is your guys' way into the show. Phone lines open, text line open, of course, twitch.tv/ESPN975. You know, I think the thing with France, it's interesting that, you know, before, if you go back before the season, right?
Right.
It's okay. There's going to be a six-man rotation with Urquidy, Garcia, McCullers, Brown, Framber Valdez.
Right.
I'm missing someone, and it's just like you have a six-man rotation. Like, that's the plan.
Right.
But then Lance McCullers gets hurt. You go to five already.
Yep.
You have more injuries. And if J.P. France is good enough, I think you will see the Astros adopt a six-man rotation for at least a short time for a couple of reasons. First of all, you have Lance McCullers coming back from an injury.
Right.
You have Jose Urquidy coming back from an injury.
Right.
Hunter Brown has only pitched limited innings.
Yes.
And when you talk about chasing another World Series, trying to go back-to-back, you need Hunter Brown to be at his best.
Yes.
You also have, you know, you have Framber Valdez, who also pitched in the World Baseball Classic, and obviously pretty much Christian Javier pitched in the World Baseball Classic. So it's like going to a six-man rotation, I think, makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
And, you know, the Astros strengthen their bullpen, like, it's like, who are you losing from your bullpen when that happens? You're probably losing, like, Seth Martinez. Can the Astros survive without Seth Martinez? Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely.
So it's like, I think the Astros are heading to a six-man rotation. Honestly, like, it's been my take for a while that, like, Major League Baseball is headed that way.
Okay.
That, like, as baseball develops and these guys go shorter outings and are throwing harder, that they try to preserve injuries, that we're going to see more teams try to go to a six-man rotation. So I kind of feel like that's where we're at with J.P. France. If he's good, they go to a six-man rotation when everyone comes back. If he's not good, then maybe it's short-lived.
Okay.
And it's just so.
Do you have him as, like, a bullpen guy, like, for the playoffs? Like, almost how they did Hunter Brown, where he came out the bullpen. Like, do you have him on that playoff roster to kind of.
It's a good question.
Beef that up.
I would say probably not. Like, okay. I think, like, when you look at the Astros' bullpen as it stands right now, you know, the way they didn't use Stanek last year much in the postseason. Right. You know, Jose Urquidy didn't pitch in the playoffs until the World Series when JV was awful. So, like, probably J.P. France is probably an odd man out, because I think when you talk about what are the Astros most likely to acquire at the trade deadline to improve this team, like, I think it's bullpen. Like, even though it's still the strength of your team, it's like, who are you trading for to put in the lineup? Like, a center fielder?
That's a good question.
A catcher?
Yeah.
Like, first base, as bad as it's been, is locked up.
It is. Know,
third base, as bad as Bregman's been, it's locked up. Like, left field, right field, like, maybe the Michael Brantley news, like, it's maybe Michael Brantley changes the equation a little bit, but like Corey Jolks is still like,
yeah,
all,
yeah,
that
listen.
Dude, all that dude does is hit.
Yeah. Gets on base.
Like, yeah, dude, he is like the definition of like a guy from Moneyball. He gets, yeah, on base.
He gets on base.
He doesn't walk enough. But like, no. Billy Beane would not like Corey Jolks because it's like strikeout or hit, not enough walks. But so if you're going to acquire someone at the deadline, I think it's going to be a bullpen arm. And then that kind of like leads you to the path of like no JP France in the playoffs.
Okay. Cause I was thinking more of maybe you get a starting pitcher. Cause I just don't know how the lineup, at least in the rotation, how it looks now with Garcia out for the year. Are you bumping everybody up one spot, sure, or are you going to go out and get, you know, get a guy that's out there that may be on a team that is looking to sell and you say, hey, we could use this guy in the rotation and he probably be, you know, the last man or maybe that, you know, fifth or sixth guy that you put in the rotation if the, you know, series and the playoffs goes deep. You know, that's what I was looking at, but I was also looking at center fielder,
fair,
too.
It's the thing with the rotation, I think, is interesting. Like, when you talk about acquiring someone at the deadline, like, if it's necessary.
Right.
The first two parts of this is, like, how, like, or it's Arcidi and McCullers, just, like, their return.
Yeah.
Like, McCullers, I feel confident that will return at some point, but will he stay healthy is a whole other question.
Yeah.
And then Jose Arcidi, like, the shoulder inflammation stuff that he's dealing with.
Right.
Is it really a month? Is it 2 months? I mean, look, the Astros had the opportunity last year to acquire Wilson Contreras.
Yes.
Dusty Baker shut that down because he did not want to trade Jose Arcidi.
Right.
So, like, there's still clearly, like, he likes Arcidi.
Yeah.
They like Arcidi. I like Arcidi.
Yeah.
I just think when you talk about acquiring a starting pitcher at the deadline, it almost becomes, like, two different conversations for me. It's like, are you going, like, are you just hunting for like, or fishing for like a small fish, or are you going for like a big fish? Like, cause like if you're going starter, I think you're going like, you're trying to go like all in. Like, you're trying to find like an elite starting pitcher that is like on his way out of a team. Like, I brought up Lucas Giolito last weekend, got some mixed feedback on that one. But like, Lucas Giolito is really like worst case scenario.
Okay.
Of like, Arcidi and McCullers are not healthy, are not back. He's a back end of the rotation guy that, in reality, probably won't be on your playoff roster. A
couple of names we brought up on the Sunday show was Lance Lynn, Brandon Woodruff, but Brandon Woodruff would cost you, you know, a pretty penny there. Zach Greinke, don't know, you know, what he's gonna,
I mean,
what he's gonna be, but at, you know, at 39 years old, you know, what are you looking for him to be, and is he gonna be that third guy? Like, this is our, you know, Fromber, Javier, and Greinke. So I do feel like you have options.
Oh yeah.
You know, starting pitching wise, that's out there. It just, I think when you look at a guy like Greinke, if you wanted to get a starting pitcher and another guy to fill in that rotation spot, I think he would probably cost the least.
Oh yeah. I mean, there's, you know, definitely like cheap options.
Yeah.
Out there.
Yeah. You know, so he'll cost the least right now. If you look at a guy like Brandon Woodruff, you're giving up a little bit in order to get a guy like Brandon Woodruff. You also may give up a little bit for a guy like Herman Marquez from Colorado.
Kyle Freeland's another guy from Colorado that I've talked about. Like, his home road splits are pretty remarkable.
Right.
He's also locked up a little bit.
Yeah.
So look, you have a bunch of different options.
Yeah, you got a litany of options.
And I think the hope is that by deadline, Arcidi and McCullers are back, and the conversation has changed from who should you acquire to like who's not going to be a factor in the playoffs.
Right.
Like, you almost like just hope that like the Astros don't have to give up any prospects and they can just move forward with their team as is. He's RJ. I'm RJ Saunders. I'm Joe George. You can find us on Twitter at RHasNoJ, at Joe George Radio. It's the bullpen here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
You're back inside the bullpen with the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Joe George and RJ Saunders here with you till 2 o'clock. Apollo Dez from the Apollo guys, Apollo Houston, will join us at 1 o'clock here in studio, talking more Astros then. But for now, let's get back to some of the news that's been going on with the team. Obviously, Yordan Alvarez went deep. That thing was a moonshot last night.
They're still looking for it.
You know, and Martin Maldonado, 8-game hitting streak.
This guy right now, so I have the note. So since April 30th, he's hitting for 320, 393, and a 5.20. That's the slash line. So he's been 8 for 25 with two doubles, one homer, and four RBIs with three runs scored. This guy is...
All right, for Martin Maldonado, that's like probably like the best stretch of his career.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but I also for a guy who I think people... It just seemed like at the beginning of the year, people were so quick to write him off.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think part of it's like you have Yonny Diaz, and Dana Brown has kind of gone foot and mouth.
Right.
He's the catcher of our future, and then he doesn't play.
Right.
And people are just like, what are we doing here?
But
like,
I guess, again, that's almost Dusty Baker saying, listen, I'm going to need this guy later on in the year, so I'd rather play Maldonado now and kind of stick with him. If Yonny is our guy of the future, that's great. He's our guy of the future, but Maldonado's our guy of the now. And yep. I need him now. It was almost kind of what my argument was last year during the World Series run of, you know, you trade for Trey Mancini, and it's like, why aren't you playing Mancini? Why aren't you playing Mancini? And Dusty sits down and has, you know, a conversation with the media and says, listen, I need Yuli in later on in the year, and especially for our playoff stretch, and to work dividends out for him. So I think the older guys know that they have the trust of Dusty, even if they're having slow starts, and that it's going to pay off in the back end. So I understand it's a slow start right now for us and this Houston Astros team, but just wait on us. We'll turn it around.
Yeah, it's just, look, it's that's one of those things where when your organization's not exactly on the same timetable, like, you're going to view things differently.
Right.
Like, I wonder if Dusty Baker wasn't here, let's just say Joe Espada was the manager.
Right.
And, like, Joe Espada and, like, Dana Brown are going to be together for the next 5, 6, hopefully 20 years.
Right.
That, like, you know, like, okay, we're going to play Yonny Diaz more. Because does Dusty Baker care about the future? Like, does he care about anything outside of this season? Because, like,
I don't think so.
I mean, yeah, if the Astros win another World Series, he might go, like, let's get three. And right. Just, like, let's keep dancing and keep partying, like, keep going. But, like, I don't think Dusty Baker, like, I don't know if he's made up his mind about next year, but I think he knows there's a chance that, first of all, he does not have a contract again. He's
right.
He's on a one-year deal.
Right.
There's no guarantees they're even going to want you back with a new GM. So it's like, what does Dusty Baker care about the future of the Astros, to be honest? He cares about the now.
He cares about the now.
He wants another ring.
Yeah, and he's also going to care about, you know, in getting that ring, I'm going to get it with the guys that I got it with last year. So
yeah.
The young guys like Jeremy Pena, okay, Jeremy Pena proved himself, you know, and he's earned my trust, you know, to play in big situations with guys like Altuve and guys like Yordan and Bregman and Tucker. But these new guys that you have coming in or these younger guys that you want to play, I think it's, like I said, I think it's going to be the same thing until the Astros are either not in playoff contention or get eliminated from the playoffs, and you hope neither happen. But it's going to be, I need the guys who I ran with last year, and I need them to play, and in order for them to turn it around or whatever slump that they're in or play the way that we've seen them play last year or in the last couple of years, I have to keep them engaged. They cannot be in the dugout. So I understand you want to play Yonny Diaz. That's fine, but I need Martin Maldonado. Or
yeah, he's Team Maldi. I get it. Like, I don't agree. Like, I think you should be focusing on, like, you should be focusing on making Yonny Diaz the future of this position. JP, honestly, the injuries almost help you.
Yeah.
Because, like, you could have Yonny Diaz, you know, he could just consistently catch JP France and Hunter Brown if you wanted him to. But, like, I mean, look, obviously, Yonny Diaz didn't catch JP France last night.
Nope.
And I thought that's what the plan was going to be, was that Maldi was going to catch Belak. He was going to catch Javier and Fromber. And then Yonny Diaz was going to catch Hunter Brown and JP France. And they proved us wrong last night.
Yeah.
So, now, the other big news that came out yesterday is that Michael Brantley has had some sort of setback. And that his shoulder is not where it needs to be after coming back and playing with the Space Cowboys. And Michael Brantley now, it seems like it's just a bunch of question marks. Like, I don't know. You know, the Astros, I think, to be honest, like, are frustrating, in my opinion, with, like, the way they talk about injuries and the way but they don't have to tell us anything.
Nope.
But, you know, I do think they do. Honestly, I think they do a disservice to their fans.
Yeah.
And you talk about, like, foot and mouth. Like, hi, Jeff Bagwell. Like,
absolutely.
How do we get? We're to the point now where it's like we don't know what's going on with Michael Brantley, and Jeff Bagwell said he'd be ready for opening day.
Jeff Bagwell did say he was going to be ready for opening day.
Yeah. No, keep going.
Oh, he said he's going to be ready for opening day number one, but also with the Jose Abreu pickup,
yeah,
as well. You know, it was just kind of with like a no GM, and he's the guy that's saying like, listen, I trust, you know, in Jose Abreu. He was a former MVP, but then when you have this Michael Brantley injury, and you're so sure that he's going to be back, and a guy, you know, who's a fan favorite here in Houston. And you're expecting that when he comes back, that's going to give you more stability within the lineup. And now he's not here. So now it's Dusty now trying to figure out again, you know, what do we do with this lineup? How do we shake up this lineup? Because it seems like he's already doing it enough already.
Yeah.
And now with Brantley, where you thought, okay, now I can start cementing this lineup a little bit. Now he has a setback. And it's just a lot of bad luck for the Astros.
No, it is. And look, the winter of Jeff Bagwell has gone very bad. Okay.
Yeah.
Rafael Montero, it was definitely an overpay.
Yeah.
In terms of like years, I think in actual terms of like monetary value wasn't that bad when you look at some of the other guys that signed. But like in terms of like years, like it's over the top.
Yeah.
And like it's not gone well, and it does seem like that he's been demoted. Right. Like right now, it seems like in a perfect situation, like last night, Hector Neris is taking the seventh, Abreu's taking the eighth, Presley's taking the ninth.
Yeah.
And like before, like that was Montero,
right,
taking the seventh. So, like, now the question becomes, is like, where does Montero fit in? Now, Jose Abreu, Dusty Baker, finally, said, we're going to put Kyle Tucker behind Jordan Alvarez. We're done with this left-right-left thing.
Yeah.
And what's happened? Kyle Tucker has had big-time at-bats already the first two games batting cleanup. So, like, that's worked really well so far.
Right.
And then Abreu is just, it's been a mess, man. Like, Dusty Baker's comments earlier in this week, I don't really understand because it was wide speculation, and the fact he said he accused Jose Abreu of hiding an injury, and it's like, and then he made the what was it, limping not or pimping not limping?
Yeah, I don't know if he's limping or pimping.
Yeah, I don't know if he's limping or pimping. Yeah. Like, because like he looked like he has like a little giddy up in his step right now. And I think it's a fair question. Like, is there something that's bothering Jose Abreu? I don't know, but like for Dusty to say that without any concrete evidence is weird.
Well, you also had Alex Cintron try to say that this may be more of a mechanics thing, and that Jose Abreu is just in his head, and once he figures it out, we'll be fine.
I hope so.
But how long are you trying to figure out this mechanics thing?
Well, you're stuck with him.
You're stuck with him now, and this contract that you gave him, I think you look even at that contract and you say, should we have given him all that money? Should we have had him this long? Because now, I mean, you know, that's your first baseman until said otherwise.
Yeah.
And if he's not batting the way that you thought he was, which I believe they thought he was going to be another power hitter in the lineup, and he's just not that. Now he does, you know, he's hitting, he's getting on base, getting you a couple RBIs, but I think that they thought way more of Jose Abreu once they got him, and he's just not that right now. So there goes another problem for the Houston Astros.
Yeah, Jose Abreu is a weird one, man. Like, I got a bunch of, obviously, like, being from Chicago, I do not like the White Sox. But I got a bunch of friends that do, and I've been texting them over the last like week or two, specifically going into this series. And I asked one of them, like, please just tell me what you see. Like, and he texted me last night, and he's like, it just doesn't look the same.
Okay.
Like, it's just, he's like, I can't, like, he's not some like great baseball mind, but he's like he's a producer at one of the stations there in Chicago. And he's like, that's not the guy that left. Like, the power has been down for Jose Abreu. Like, you look at his numbers, like, it's very obvious. Like, the power is gone.
And he's always been a slow starter.
But the doubles have been there. The RBIs have been there. Like, it's the home runs might be gone. But, like, it's just he's not the same guy. Like,
no.
I remember watching, like, my friends that are White Sox fans remember watching. Like, it's just there's something missing. And I can't quite figure out what it is. And honestly, I don't know if the Astros know either. And, like, that's what's really the challenge here. But in the positives, just real quick before we take a break and get in some Texans stuff, Jose Altuve did return to Sugar Land last night.
Thank the Lord.
And the thing about this Astros lineup and this team is they are two games above 500.
Right.
They're, like, what, like 3.5, 4 games back out of first place right now.
Yeah.
And they're missing Michael Brantley, Jose Altuve, Jose Abreu's bad, McCullers is out, Urquidy's out, Garcia's out. Like, when you talk about, you miss Chaz McCormick, he's hurt again.
He's hurt again.
Like, when you talk about this team and how, like, where they're at right now today in the season, it's, I think it's more impressive. The bullpen statistically is better right now for 38 games than it was last year through 38 games.
Right.
Like, this team, the struggles it's having, like, all these injuries, like, man, they're holding it together.
For absolutely.
Sure. Duct taped, but it's held together.
Do you think, because this is what Jose Abreu said during opening day when they faced the White Sox, and he joked around and said that his former Chicago teammate said, "You look like Michael Jordan in a Wizards jersey." You seeing that?
It's funny that, yeah, I guess so. That's such a garbage organization that, like, they don't really have anything to compare Michael Jordan to.
Right.
But, like, Jose Abreu, look, he's an MVP. Yep. He was the best player for the White Sox for pretty much since he got to Chicago from Cuba.
Yeah.
Like, he's pretty much been their best player consistently. Tim Anderson probably had, like, 1 or 2 years that were a little bit better.
Right.
But, yeah, I get it a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, I definitely get, like, where, like, they're coming from, especially, you know, because – especially with the Jerry Reinsdorf connection there. But I could see it. I think that's going to be more like – I'm trying to think, like, who's the Astros version of that? It'd be like if Altuve left.
If Altuve left, yeah.
Like, because I don't think, like, Correa and Springer, like, they're so young, like, they don't fit into that category. Right. Like, I think it'd be like if Altuve ever left, which, like, I don't think that will
happen.
No,
that's not happening.
But hopefully Jose Altuve will be back soon. You can listen to him play tonight on ESPN 92.5 for the Sugarland Space Cowboys. Coming up next, rookie minicap is underway. Texan schedule is out. We got some thoughts from D'Amico Ryans about their first opponent not having primetime games. We get to all that next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Joe George and RJ Saunders here with you till 2 o'clock. You guys can get on here at 713-212. Oh, man. Timeout. 713-780-3776.
Ka-ching.
I literally was just, like, looking at a Twitter account and one of my old coworkers, and I almost gave out the wrong phone number right there. We're going to go full peel the curtain back right now. Almost a disaster. We stopped it from happening. We did get a text here on the end of that segment from 8089. Thoughts on acquiring Lance Thomas from Nats for center field. I don't think you need to acquire a center fielder. I'm good with Jake Myers, Chaz McCormick. And frankly, if this kid keeps balling, I think there's a chance Drew Gilbert just busts through and shows up in the majors this year. I mean, dude, like, he's
so
already
21 years old, already in double A.
Yeah.
Do you think they have him skip triple A?
Sometimes the top prospects do, because some of the top pitching prospects are in double A.
Right.
So sometimes the pitching's better in double A versus triple A, because in triple A you get a lot of guys, like a lot of Brandon Belak's out there, right?
Right.
Who, like, they're not triple A players, but they're not major. They're coined as, like, 4A players.
Right.
Like, they're just somewhere in the middle where, like, they're probably really good in the minors and not good in the majors.
Right.
So, like, I think it's possible for sure. Like, I think a lot of that depends on the end result of Michael Brantley, Chaz McCormick's back, and just if Jake Myers keeps playing well. But, like, yeah, I think it's on the table. Like, it's going to be up to Gilbert, though. He's going to have to be the driver of that conversation.
Right.
He's going to have to make it to the point where Dana Brown and Dusty Baker have no choice.
They got no choice.
Where it's like, this dude's just crushing it. Like,
yeah.
And he's up. And I think at a minimum, he's going to be a September call-up. Okay. And, like, you might even see him on the playoff roster.
Maybe.
For, like, defense and speed. Where, like, you might not see him in a game until, like, it's the top of the 10th inning and Jordan Alvarez is on second base, so you put Drew Gilbert out there.
Right.
Like, but, like, I think we could see Drew Gilbert at some point this season for sure.
And that would be if he comes up and he, you know, shows and proves like he's been doing yet again. Another gem for the Houston Astros. You got to start believing in these young guys, Dusty.
I mean,
you know.
That's my real question, is if they brought up Drew Gilbert, would he even play him?
Yeah.
Like, that's why it's like, if he's not going to play, like, Yadier Diaz, and, like, just leave him in the minors and wait till Dusty's gone, and then Drew Gilbert will be your starting center fielder next year.
Yeah.
That, I think, for sure is going to happen. Okay. That barring injury, Drew Gilbert will be the opening day center fielder for the Astros next year. All right, let's get into some Texans stuff. So, obviously, schedule came out. Look, the schedule's a funny thing. Like, we know the opponents beforehand.
Right.
But, like, you know, your perspectives just change a little bit when you see it all in order. Because, you know, you're looking at bye weeks, you're looking for primetime games, you're looking for divisional games. weird quirks. Like, look, the weirdest thing about the Texans schedule is the fact they play the Tennessee Titans week 15 and week 17 is super weird. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't get why you do that. But, like, it almost changes your perspective because I think it's pretty reasonable. Like, Will Levis might be the starting quarterback for both those games.
He may. He may. Like, I'm also looking at Anthony Rich. I would have to believe Minshew is your starter.
Mm-mm.
No?
Jim Irsay, so you don't know what's really the truth
or right.
what's drugs. But, like, he said that, like, he said Anthony Richardson's going to be their starting quarterback week one. So, like, that's actually – and that's one of the benefits. Like, if he's starting, you get Anthony Richardson week two, like, his second game in the NFL. Like, that's a positive for
that's
sure.
That's a positive.
So, schedule's weird. You know, you got Bryce Young week eight.
Yeah.
Both teams, the Panthers and the Texans, coming off a bye. But let's hear from D'Amico Ryans here. D'Amico Ryans talking about the schedule and not having any primetime games.
We're excited about the schedule and where we are, you know, with that schedule, right? Not having any primetime games and all the, you know, that's the one thing that we kind of look forward to. And the one thing that I've learned as I've just looked at is for us as a team, we have to go out and earn our right to be in those primetime moments. So it's a good opportunity for our team to just go out, just put our head down and work and just to prove where we belong. So excited about it.
I think that it's, first of all, that's a good approach on it because that's what the NFL should have been doing this whole time.
Right.
Like, it was so unnecessary to have all these teams play on Thursday Night Football.
Yeah.
Like, when you know they're awful. And, right. like, they still get it wrong. Like, why is Jordan Love getting five primetime games this year?
Like, it's the Packers, I guess.
I guess.
I mean, it's the Packers, so, you know, one of the...
Dude, I hope for our viewing sake, I hope the NFC North is, like, compelling this year.
You would hope.
Because there's, like, 21 games, I think, between the Bears. I don't know if it's 21 total games, but 21 times this season, the Bears, Lions, Vikings, and Packers play in primetime or, like, a standalone game. And, like, if that division sucks, primetime football is going to be tough.
Primetime football is going to be tough.
But, like, let's hear again from D'Amico Ryans. Here's D'Amico, more on his thoughts on the schedule and opening with Baltimore on the road.
All right, with the schedule release, you know, we're excited. You're always excited to see where that first game is, and we get the opportunity to go up to Baltimore versus a very tough team, Lamar Jackson. It's going to be a tough matchup. They've added some firepower to their offense this offseason, so great challenge for us to start out, and we're excited about that. But more excited about the home opener where we get to the opportunity to play in front of our hometown, play in front of our fans, and hopefully we can go out against our divisional opponent and put on a good show, you know, for the fans of Houston. So we're excited about the schedule and where we are, you know, with that schedule, right? Not having any primetime games and all the, you know, that's the one thing that we kind of look forward to. And the one thing that I've learned as I've just looked at is for us as a team, we have to go out and earn our right to be in those primetime moments. So it's a good opportunity for our team to just go out, just put our head down and work and just to prove where we belong. So excited about it.
Well, I guess I should have listened to that first before because it was the same cut twice. Right. But to the first part, like opening versus Baltimore, it is a tough matchup. Like,
yeah.
You know, Lamar's healthy. Mm-hmm. They got OBJ,
Zay Flowers.
Like, what is that offense going to be? Like, great question. Like,
right.
But, like, you talk about Baltimore and you talk about the schedule, like, you almost, I think, you kind of wanted them at the end of the season because, like, Lamar hasn't finished the season. OBJ hasn't really, you know, he gets hurt. J.K. Dobbins gets banged up. And, like, most likely you're going to get those three guys, like, are going to be on the field for right. the first game.
Right.
So, like, but what'd you take away from the schedule?
From the schedule, it seems to me, you know, to have the 30th easiest or toughest schedule in the NFL, it doesn't look all that bad. I look at the first 6 weeks, and I don't know. I feel like you could steal a couple of games. I mean, you know, you play at Jacksonville. Jacksonville has had trouble with you, and this is coming from a Jags fan. Jacksonville has had trouble against the Houston Texans no matter who they have. I mean, there's just like a problem in waking up. You also look at the Indianapolis Colts and rookie quarterback, but you feel like they have more talent than the Houston Texans do on both sides of the football.
Sure.
You know, take quarterback aside. But I then look at Pittsburgh, Atlanta, and New Orleans, and I say, goodness, I feel like you could take maybe two.
Yeah.
You could take two out of that before you get to the bye. And Damian Pierce said this last season where he said, you know, listen, we felt like we were in a lot of these games last year. We lost by a score. We kept it close. There were just a couple of things that we didn't do. I think one of the biggest problems is now is you're now asking C.J. Stroud to maybe take you over that hump to where you say if the game is close, we're trusting C.J. Stroud. But here you have a rookie quarterback now with two rookie wide receivers in Tank Dell and John Mechie. You're a second-year guy coming in if you're Damian Pierce. Your defense is very young with guys like Will Anderson, Petrie coming back for another year, Stingley coming back for another year. So when you look at this schedule, you want to say, oh, you know, of course this is going to be a 7-win team as everybody is predicting.
Sure.
But if they are 6-5 wins, I would have to attribute it to these guys just haven't been in that position before to close out and win those games. So yeah. I wouldn't take anything away from them.
No, look, the Texans, look, they played a lot of close games last year. Like, it is a fact. And then when you look at the Vegas odds that have come out, like they've already put out through the whole season, the Texans have a bunch of games. I think it's like they have six games within like 3 points.
Yeah.
Whether they're favored or dogs, yeah. Like they're between -1 to +3 in like 6 or 7 games this season.
Right.
And obviously a lot of that's going to change. Those are the early lines. But like that's just like the initial thought, which means like you're predicted to lose to the Tennessee Titans by 3 points on the road.
Yeah.
But that's a coin flip. Okay. Right. If you don't know how, like when they set initial lines, that first line, the home team automatically gets 3 points. Okay. Because like you're the home favorite.
Right.
So if the Titans are a +3, that really means like the odds makers from, it was DraftKings, this one specifically, like they view the Texans and the Titans in week 15 as an even matchup. Now a lot of that's gonna change because if Tannehill's in, like that means they're probably still playing well by week 15.
Right.
If he's not, they're probably not playing well. Will Derrick Henry still be there? There's a lot to go on. But like I think when you look at the Texans schedule this year, to be honest, it can really, I think it's going to end up in the middle ground, and like that over under 5.5 is probably perfect. I think they're going to win 6 or 7 games this year.
I hope.
They're just a better football team.
Yeah.
They're going to be better coached. The big thing with the Texans, though, is like they are the opposite of the Houston Astros. The Astros can lose Jose Altuve, Lance McCullers, or Urquidy Garcia. No big deal. 2 games above 500.
Right.
We also think they're going to go to the World Series.
Right.
Vegas still has them as the betting favorite to go to the World Series from the American League. The Texans have no depth.
No.
Like when they if they get rattled with injuries early on, they're screwed.
Yes.
Like they are like in big time trouble,
yes,
on offense and defense. And that's where like the season, I think it's really hard to get a read on the Texans because they have the third easiest schedule in the NFL based on last year's records. Based on last year's
last
records.
Year's records.
It's not a prediction.
Right.
It's based on last year's
records.
But just quickly here. You play Anthony Richardson twice. You play Kenny Pickett. You play Desmond Ridder. You play that bum Derek Carr. You play Bryce Young. You play maybe Baker Mayfield or Kyle Trask.
You got Trevor Lawrence twice.
I think you're going to play Kyler Murray in week 11, or it could be Colt McCoy or Clayton Toon. Are the Denver Broncos any good? Or like is Russell Westbrook, Russell Wilson, they're both cooked. Like, is he awful? Are you playing Will Levis? Are you playing Ryan Tannehill?
Deshaun Watson,
like,
Aaron Rodgers.
But like, besides Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers,
Trevor Lawrence,
and Joe Burrow, you are not playing murderers
row
of quarterbacks.
No.
And like that to me is why this season should be better, because if DeMeco is as good as a defensive coach as you hired him to be, you should be able to take advantage of some of these teams. And like you got to start with your – oh, and I forgot, no disrespect, Lamar Jackson. I just didn't scroll back up to week one. Like you don't have a tough schedule. Like,
no,
like they should absolutely win a minimum of 6 games this season. He's RJ Saunders. I'm Joe George. Kenny the Jet Smith has a new book coming out, and he's got some thoughts on the 2 years that Michael Jordan didn't play a full season, because that is technically right. He did play in one of those seasons. The 2 seasons that Michael Jordan didn't play a full season. Kenny Smith has some thoughts. We talk about them next year on The Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
Yeah, yeah. broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. It's the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Joe George, RJ Saunders here with you till 2 o'clock. You can find us on Twitter at Joe George Radio, at RHasNoJ. Apollo Dez will join us here in about 10 minutes from 1 to 1:30, talking all things Astros. As he says, his son, Yordan Alvarez. Some disrespect for Yordan Alvarez that I found from the MLB official Twitter account.
With the MVP?
Okay. Just best hitters in baseball.
Yeah, they had him down in the list.
And he was not in, even in the top five.
Yeah, he's
and so
down.
We'll talk about that, a bunch of other stuff going on with Yordan, the Astros, and just overall, but with the team. But so Kenny Smith has a new book coming out.
Right.
It's interesting because I've heard him talk about it a lot. He's been doing the interview circuit, and it's like, instead of having chapters 1, 2, 3 through whatever, he has like players, like, or people's names as the chapter. So like one chapter is like Charles Barkley. Okay. And it's like what he learned from Chuck and stuff like that. I'm actually really excited to read it.
Yeah.
I know we're hoping at some point he's going to be on the bench on the station at some point. Yeah. But Kenny Smith recently said that he feels the Rockets would have gone back-to-back even if Jordan hadn't left to play baseball. And, you know, it's funny because from my perspective, this is not – people in Houston think that people like me from Chicago like want to like fight tooth and nail about this topic.
Right.
I got bad news for you. The Houston Rockets are like not relevant to the city of Chicago. And the fact of like when people talk about like the Bulls dynasty, like people still talk like they don't talk about what if they played the Rockets.
No.
They talk about how much they hate Isaiah Thomas still.
Yes.
They talk about like that stuff. They talk about losing to Shaq in the year the second year the Rockets won their title. Like they talk about losing that.
Or you have Rodman talking about if the team would have came back in 99, we would have easily won the finals.
It's because like the way like the Last Dance like played out, like assuming most of you watched it, like that there was more to accomplish.
Yeah.
But like they weren't gonna bring people back. So like Michael left, Scottie left, Dennis left, and like people talk more about that than they do. Like people don't talk about those two series. Now most people in Chicago would say they believe that the Bulls would have won 8 straight titles.
Of course.
If you ask them.
Yes.
I think a logical person knows, like, that's not the case. Because, first of all, and this is where I think Kenny Smith is 110% correct. Okay. First of all, when you look at like, career stats, kind of a small sample size, 32 games, isn't a ton. But, like, Dream averaged 21.9 points per game, 10.7 rebounds, 3.1 blocks. The Bulls had no answer.
None.
No answer.
Yeah, Bill Cartwright, Will Perdue like, at the time.
I wish we could have gotten... Like, if you told me, like, you could pick and choose Bulls-Rockets to play, I don't want the 2 years that Michael doesn't play. Right. I would have rather see the Rockets go for a third title the first year that the Bulls have Dennis Rodman.
Okay, and so Michael's, 96.
Michael's full first season, 96. Because that's where, like, even though Dennis Rodman, size-wise, everything is not a matchup with Dream, the Bulls never had an answer for Hakeem Olajuwon. Like, that's all you have to do is look at the stats. Like, you don't even have to watch the games. You can see that he's putting up double-doubles left and right against Michael Jordan and the Bulls. Like, there's no answer.
There was no answer for him.
So, like, yeah, I don't think the Bulls went 8 straight.
No.
I don't even know if they get there because I think, like, mentally, Michael stepped away for a reason. His dad got killed. Like
the gambling thing.
Gambling stuff. He was, like, full on tilt, like, all the time.
Felt he accomplished everything he could. I mean, he said that in his exit, you know, press conference, the first time that he retired, he felt he accomplished everything that he wanted to in his career. I mean, looking at it now, and I understand the NBA today is not like it was back in the 90s, but when you do look at the Chicago Bulls, who owned the decade, I mean, they were the team of the decade, so it went – Chicago winning 6, you had Houston with 2, San Antonio with 1, and Detroit, you know, finishing that back-to-back that they had. I just believe, for me, when you look at Chicago, they were playing deep into June for 6 out of, you know, the 10 years, you know, in the 90s. I don't know if they get... If the Bulls are just mentally, like you said, mentally just drained and worn out. Because this is what Steve Nash said on Bill Simmons' podcast. And, of course, you know, age and attrition hit the Lakers when, he came to LA and it was him and it was Kobe and Powell and Dwight. But he said, listen, Kobe and I we're playing deep into the playoffs, but then we're turning around and playing in the FIBA World Championships.
Oh, yeah.
So we're playing in the Olympics. So now we're playing year round, at least for 2-3 straight years. Kobe's at least done it since 2008. Here we make a trade in 2012. He's like, my back is giving out because I've just played too many minutes. Kobe's Achilles gives out. Powell, they're wondering if he's going to be back. I think the same thing would have happened potentially with Chicago. Not saying they would have traded Jordan, not saying they would have traded Scottie, but I do think for Chicago, at least 94. I think 94, it would have been a tiring thing.
For sure. Like, and Printer All-Star brings up a good point. Like, they could, like, the Bulls couldn't even handle David Robinson. Like, they had no answer. Like, we saw it. You saw it in the playoffs in what, 95, like that they couldn't stop Shaq.
No,
like they now.
And no, Horace no, was look, now Horace was gone.
You're talking about three of the greatest basketball players of all time: Shaquille O'Neal, Hakeem Olajuwon, David Robinson.
Right.
But like the Bulls didn't have an answer. Like
they didn't.
So like I don't think there's anything wrong with like Kenny saying that like the Bulls, like the Rockets could have gone back to back. I'm like fascinated though, like if Chicago gets to the finals, if Michael doesn't retire to play baseball, I do wonder like what history would change if after the first title and it's the Rockets beat the Bulls, like what the Bulls' answer would have been, like if they would have tried to acquire Dennis Rodman then,
right,
or if they make like a different move,
right,
like that's what I think is like almost like I'm like fascinated by,
yeah,
is like what's the answer, because the one thing that like. You know, people get, like I said, like people from Houston get defensive, like when we talk about this, because they think everyone in Chicago just like hates him and like hates Houston and like thinks they had no chance. The funny thing about this is that like Chicago, like when you talk about Hakeem Olajuwon, they give, and this is the most general take that I think most people agree with, is that the Chicago Bulls drafted the greatest player of all time,
yes,
in that draft. But the Houston Rockets made the right decision not selecting Michael Jordan.
Yes.
By drafting Hakeem Olajuwon.
Yes.
Like, that's how great of a basketball player Dream is.
Yes.
That, like, Michael Jordan goes, what, two picks later.
Yep.
And no one thinks the Houston Rockets made the wrong decision.
Made the bad decision.
That's where, like, when you talk about, like, the most underrated basketball players of all time, like, Dream, to me, is the number one disrespected player of all time. Like, I think we had this discussion out in the bullpen.
We did.
Like with one of the interns, we were talking about Larry Bird.
Yes.
Like, I think it was Paul was out there too, or someone was out there with us, but like how Larry Bird's like the most underappreciated star player of all time. And I think the answer is Dream. Because, like, if you can say that the Houston Rockets passed on Michael Jordan and they made the right decision, then how can you put together your top 25, top 100 all time ESPN or whoever, and then have Dream outside the top 12?
You can't.
Like, you're talking out both sides.
You're right.
Like, that's where, like, Steph Curry doesn't belong in that conversation, in my opinion. Like, is Steph Curry top 10 if he didn't win a title. Like, yeah, he could have been. But, like, yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with Kenny saying that. I think he's right.
I also believe Kenny makes a valid point that when Jordan comes back in 95, what was the biggest thing he did that year in coming back? Went to New York and dropped a double nickel on the Knicks.
Yeah.
And nobody was saying he was out of shape. Nobody was saying his timing was off. Nobody was saying any of that. Then he loses to Orlando with Shaq and Nick Anderson and Penny Hardaway. Now it's, well, Jordan was, you know, out of shape. You didn't get the full-length Jordan. And then you see what happens in 96. They go 72-10. I do believe this is one of the more interesting arguments in NBA history just due to the fact because, A, who's stopping Dream, but, B, I don't know how many bodies you're putting on Jordan. Like, you know, Mad Max and maybe Mario Ellie you have there. Kenny Smith, how is he checking Michael Jordan? So it definitely would have been an interesting conversation.
No, look, there are a couple moments, I think, in NBA history where I think fans got unlucky.
Yeah.
So Dream versus Jordan not happening in the finals is one of them. LeBron Kobe. Never happening in the finals is another one. Like, there's just, like, moments in time where it's, like, you could have had, like, this elite, incredible NBA Finals matchup, and, like, we just didn't get it.
Never got it.
And, like, but, yeah, I am team. I agree with Kenny Smith here. If I worked in Chicago, I probably would get booed off the radio station because I promise you this is not, like, a biased take. Like, I think it's just.
Now, do they go back to back, in your opinion? I say they go, well, they win one out of two. If it's 8 straight years, I say one out of two. I think Jordan figures it out in year 2.
I think the Bulls answer.
Yeah.
They try to find an answer for Dream.
Yeah.
After, if they lose the first one, and then yeah. if the Bulls play an 8 straight finals, I think they try to find an answer from Dream
yeah.
and do something that they get something like Dennis Rodman's never a Chicago Bull. They do something before Dennis
okay.
arrives in 96
right.
to try to help combat Dream. He's RJ Saunders. You can find him on Twitter at RHasNoJ. I'm Joe George. You can find me on Twitter at Joe George Radio. Coming up next, let's get back into some Astros conversation from Apollo Houston. Apollo Dez, their lead man, joins us next here at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow and Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Rakuten.com.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.